On this edition of the Scott Radley Show podcast, we are talking about the NDP Liberal Coalition and what it means. The short answer, the Reader's Digest version before you even listen to the podcast, expect higher taxes. It's going to cost us a lot of money. We'll dive into that one. And the CFL, once again, it seems discussion of the CFL going to four downs is gurgling around, is bubbling around in the cauldron of whatever. Good idea. Is this a good idea to contemplate? Rick Zamperin joins me. We'll dive into that as well. Stay tuned.
Today on the Scott Radley Show on 900 CHML.
Let me bring in Jay Goldberg from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation because, Jay, as I look at what this deal between the Liberals and NDP says, and I'm just going to go through very quickly, a new dental care program, the Canadian Pharmacare Act, National Long-Term Care Standards with Long-Term Care Act, Rapid Housing Initiative, Housing Accelerator Fund, getting rid of as much as they can of the fossil fuel sector, 10-day paid sick leave for all federally regulated workers, new investments in Indigenous housings in the billions of dollars, and on and on. We're talking about tens of billions of new dollars spent on an annual basis every year. The ideas may be nice. Some people may like this. Can we afford this?
Well, we definitely can't afford their plans. And what we've seen is both parties have come together with an accord here, a sort of essentially an agreement that, as you said, presents tens of billions of dollars of new spending, but does nothing to ever explain where that spending is going to come from. And of course, we know it's going to come from deficit spending. Right now, we are spending $2 billion a month just on interest on our debt. Now, with interest rates heading up, we know there's going to be six interest rate hikes this year. It's going to go from $2 billion to as much as $4 or $5 billion a month just in debt interest going to the bondholders. And that's based on what we have right now. Now, the Liberal government is still currently running a $60 billion deficit. And with all of these initiatives, we're looking at a deficit probably well over $100 billion. We're abandoning any of those fiscal anchors that Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland was talking about before. Our debt's already $1.2 trillion. That's $30,000 for everybody all across the country. And so what we have to think about is, you know, the priorities may sound nice and some of them may be attractive, but you have to look at how it's going to be paid for, and they've presented no plan for how to do that.
No, Dan Kelly, who's the head of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, was pointing out today the same thing you are pointing out now. With this whole list of things that they are going to do, there is not one thing on there that talks about growing the economy. Everything about it is either adding expenses or hitting the private sector harder, places that did well during the pandemic that were profitable, or getting rid of the fossil fuel industry, which ironically, if we were to do this right, this is one of the areas that could really bring in more tax dollars to help deal with some of this and pay for some of these programs. We don't want to do that, though. So all I see here is more spending and more taxes.
That's absolutely what we're going to see. We're going to see more spending first. We're going to see more taxes after. We know that they're already going to go after certain corporations. We also know that the NDP has been a proponent of a wealth tax, and that could very much be back on the table now that they're working with the Trudeau Liberals. We also know, and this is an interesting standpoint, because we've been having a minority government for the last 3 years, but there's been no formal deal. So quite frequently, we expected the NDP to be the party that might support the Liberals on a budget or confidence motion. And so the Liberals have tried to come out with something that they think would be palatable to the NDP. Well, now they know exactly who they have to cater to, and they know exactly what the NDP wants, and what they want is simply not affordable. And ultimately, as you said, there's nothing included in that plan to try to grow the economy. In fact, some of their proposals, if you're looking at the fossil fuel industry or elsewhere, will actually lead to a contraction of the economy. And importantly, there's no conversation at all about how to deal with the inflation that is leading to soaring cost of living for people all across the country. We are facing the highest inflation in 30 years, and that's because of government spending and borrowing, and this is just going to fuel the fire.
Well, and look, as we don't work on our fossil fuel industry, and as we have the carbon tax coming in on April 1st, when gas prices go up, it's not just the price to fill up or to heat our home. Everything that has to get brought to a store price goes up. Like, Again, I look at this and all I see is higher costs. All I see is higher costs. And anyone, as you know, I haven't even heard anyone today trying to argue against it. Usually you have the folks on the one side saying, no, this is going to be okay. I haven't heard anyone even trying to argue that it's not going to be higher prices. It's just accepted now.
Yeah, there's nobody who's trying to argue that. We know inflation is already out of control and it's going to get more so with all of this increased government spending. And, you know, Canadians are feeling the costs now. We're feeling them in our everyday lives. We're feeling them as we go to the grocery store, as we fill up our cars at the gas station. As you said, the Trudeau government's going to hike the carbon tax again on April 1st, which will further increase gas prices. And another thing you said is absolutely crucial, which is that the carbon tax is a tax on everything. It really is, because if you need to have your goods taken from one place to another, they're transported on something that uses fuel. So it is driving up the price of everything, including our groceries. So that's a huge concern. And, you know, for parties that in the election were trying to talk a little bit about affordability, there's not much of an affordability conversation here. They're talking about some new programs that maybe will be down the line a few years. They're going to set up in the long term. No conversation about how to help Canadians today or tomorrow. And that's what we need to see.
And one more thing. We're short on time. We got a little bit. But you and I have talked before about the amount that we have spent in over the pandemic and before that on public sector employees, high salaries, increases for public sector employees. I think almost every public sector employee in this country has received raises over the pandemic, while the private sector has really been hurt by this. Good pensions, good benefits. And now everybody who's in the public sector who didn't already have 10 days of paid sick leave, two working weeks of paid sick leave. Here's my wager, and I'll take this with almost anyone who would call in and want to take this up with me. I will wager that 75% of federal workers will be sick for at least 2 weeks once this comes into play. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you take the time if they're going to pay you to stay home? And again, to me, it's just another thing of a lack of reality, a lack of being in touch to say, well, you know what? Everybody gets to stay home now. The private sector, yeah, so does, but they can pay for it. This is the problem. We are paying for this. Someone's got to pay for this.
Well, that's right. And the politicians like to pretend that no one's going to have to pay for it. Nobody's going to have to come up again. But of course we will. And we've already seen that people who are working for the government, employed by the government, make on average 10% more than someone comparable in the private sector. So already there's that pay gap. And now you're talking about these 2 weeks paid sick leave. And again, as you said, when there's a specific amount of days set out that you can be sick for, you're going to have much likely that it's going to be taken up no matter the situation, depending on the situation. And so you're absolutely right there. But I do think there's this huge disconnect and there's a failure on the part of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Jagmeet Singh, to think about how do some of the policies we're pushing for actually impact our bottom line, impact the private sector, because it's tax revenue from the private sector that pays the salaries of everybody who works for the government and will be paying for them all to have 10 days of paid sick leave. And so they have to recognize that if you want to pay for all these things, you have to grow the economy. We've seen no effort to outline policies to try to do that.
It is... We'll see. I don't have a lot of optimism for where this is going to go. I think we are going to be spending a lot of money and seeing a lot of tax, because eventually they're going to have to hit us with taxes. It's inevitable. You can't just let the debt grow exponentially and forever, but we will see. Jay Goldberg from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, thanks as always for the time.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.
Earlier this week, we're in the off season for the Canadian Football League right now. Things are pretty quiet, which they're supposed to be pretty quiet. We had the Grey Cup here in December. Fantastic event. Everybody's feeling pretty good about everything other than the outcome. Of course, we wanted the Ticats to win, but they lost in overtime. But otherwise, you know, things are pretty good. Well, this week, Rod Peterson, who is a friend of this show, he does his own show. He, former one-time voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, now does his own show out in Regina. He was talking to Arash Madani from Sportsnet, who said that he's hearing that the gambling company that the CFL is in business with, that was announced at the Grey Cup, that they're pushing for a change in the way the game is played. A change that was talked about a bit, then went quiet. But the idea of four down football for the CFL. And then you go to... Thank you, yeah. Then you go to Three Down Nation, which writes about the CFL. And it turns out that Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the league, it was in Calgary doing a fan appearance. And let me read you from Three Down Nation. On Tuesday, Ambrosi was asked about the possibility of an Americanized CFL in an appearance in Calgary and avoided answering the question directly. He then went on to talk about a bunch of other stuff, but never apparently answered the question. Let me bring in a guy who knows football as well as anyone in this city. He is not just the one-time voice of the Hamilton Ticats here on 900 CHML. Now he is the host of Good Morning Hamilton, which begins very early every morning, 5:30 if you tune in here in the morning. That's in the morning. His name is Rick Zamperin. He's staying up to talk to us tonight. Rick, how are you?
Scott, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing well, although I am somewhat surprised, I think, to see this story flaring up again. I'm somewhat surprised that this has not been either put to bed or something else. I don't know. It just seems like if you're the league, I don't know that you want this to be constantly coming up again and again.
There's two ways I look at the smoldering embers of the four down thought here north of the border. Thought number one is, and I don't really subscribe to this line of thinking, but I think it would be interesting nonetheless, and you mentioned the offseason and the CFL being quiet, and it is very much so, you know, from the end of the Grey Cup to just about, you know, the a week or two before free agency hits in February, and then it kind of dies down again, and then training camp starts up, and you know, a lot of the talk about the Canadian Football League erupts again. But for the majority of the 6 or 7 months, however long the offseason is, no one really talks about the Canadian Football League unless there's something controversial like, oh my gosh, they're going to go to four downs. So part of me thinks, you know, is this some kind of ploy by Genius Sports and Randy Ambrosi to kind of float it out there and not shoot it down when someone brings it up or not answer a question? No, maybe, and maybe that gets people talking about the league and gets the passion about the Canadian Football League. You know, people riled up about, hey, don't touch our game. I'm sure there's others who say, yeah, hey, let's bring in four downs. It's going to be much more exciting. But the other more realistic side of me is that they are looking at this, and they're looking at it because they're thinking maybe, just maybe, adding another down will create a little bit more offense, more points on the field, and more excitement in the stands. Because as we know, offense sells tickets, and more often than not, defense wins championships. That's basically how the saying goes. Mm. So on one hand, I'd love for the commissioner to say, no, we're not going down that route. But on the other hand, you know, if they are talking about it, he can't quite say, yeah, we're kind of considering it. I mean, that would really be, forget about the smoldering embers. Now we're talking about a tire fire.
By the way, when Rick mentioned Genius Sports, that was not like people in sports who are geniuses. Like, he was not being sarcastic. That's the name of the gambling organization, the wagering organization that the CFL is now in business. It is a wagering organization, right, Rick? It is.
Primarily, sports wagering and analytics, as they call it.
Right. Okay. So yes, that's the name of the company. So that was not a sarcastic comment. That's the actual name of the place. So, yeah. All right. To your point though about Randy Ambrosi, if this was not a thing that was being discussed, why would you not just flatly deny this and get it done with? Like, the fact that he didn't tells me there has to be some smoke here, because otherwise you just put it to bed right away and end it.
Without a doubt. I mean, we're talking about changing fundamental changes in the Canadian Football League. I mean, adding an extra down completely changes the game. Adds one more possession or one more down per possession. Considering the size of the field and all the other rules that go into it, if they're considering one rule change and making the game that much more different, that's probably the first and maybe the only rule that they would have to change. Adding an extra down is fundamentally so much different than what we have been accustomed to for over 100 years, basically. So I think, yeah, there is some smoke and a little bit of flameage here, and I don't think that the extinguisher has been fully depressed here and putting out this fire. I think that they're, I'm not sure if it's a serious conversation, but I think they're looking at all the pros and cons. You know, if we did this, what if? Is it going to bring more people to the stadiums? I have my
doubts. What about that? What about that? Because you and I, Rick, you and I may just be dinosaurs who have grown up with a certain brand of football, and so we can't see any other alternative, and this is sacrilegious almost. But maybe those under 30, maybe a new generation that right now aren't really latching on to the CFL, maybe that would bring in a whole generation of fans that otherwise wouldn't touch the league.
I hate to be brutally honest, but I don't see it. And here's why I don't see it. So the Canadian Football League announces that they go from three downs to four downs. So what? I mean, really, if you are in Toronto, you don't even know that the Argos exist if you're not already an Argos fan. And for the CFL to say, hey, we're doing four downs now, and you're not a football fan or you're not a CFL fan already or an Argos fan, you're thinking, okay, good luck with that. Forget about the purism. You know, the differentiation between the Canadian game that has one less yard and a bunch of other rules that are so much different than the NFL, including the size of the field and the end zone and where the goalposts are and, you know, yada, yada, yada. The differentiation is what is going to continue to move this game forward, because we've seen four down football leagues in the U.S. fall on their face, whether it's the XFL or
every one of them.
Every one of them. I mean,
except the NFL.
The NFL and the AFL, which let's call a spade a spade, basically were the same game, just in different cities. The USFL, you can probably throw in the mix too, but that didn't last long. But because the NFL said, "Hey, we're just going to soak up some of your franchises," and away we go. It wasn't a different game, so it didn't last. It didn't stand the test of time. The CFL has been around for decades with three down games, with Canadian players, with all the other rules that I mentioned. So I think to move the league and the game and the excitement around the game forward is to make other changes like marketing, getting better players, signing them to better contracts. When I say better contracts, not one-year contracts where you don't know who's on the team year in and year out. Yeah, free agency is exciting because players are moving here, there, and everywhere, but year in and year out, if you're buying a jersey, it lasts 1 year because that player is gone the next year. And that's, I think, some of the fundamental things that they do have to change.
I do think that you're on to one thing here with the problem. We may be dinosaurs. Let's not discount that idea. You and I may be dinosaurs, but the idea of going to four downs, I think, necessarily and automatically then makes people compare you to the NFL. Right now, you can be your own game. It's different. You can have smaller bodies, faster players, whatever. You can be different. As soon as you go to four downs, even if you keep the same field size, you are going to be instantly compared to the NFL. And look, I'm not dumping on the CFL, Rick, but I don't think you're going to hold up well in that comparison, because all the very best players in four down football are in the NFL. You become a second tier farm league. And I don't think that works. I think people are not going to buy tickets or latch on to something where they feel like I'm watching the second or third best product.
It's no different than the NHL to the AHL. You know, same rules. They have the same puck, same dimensions with their rink surfaces. All the rules basically are the same. You have pretty much the same number of teams, but you look at the quality of the players in one league versus the other, and you're going to say, I'm going to watch the best players. So if you're playing four down football north of the border and south of the border, you're going to watch the best four down players. And that is the NFL. I mean, it's true. You want to play the best three down ball, all right? Those guys currently reside in Canada. That's not to say that, hey, Tom Brady can't play three down football. He probably could. He never would. And that's the other big factor in this. It's the money that goes into what each league is all about. The NFL is an absolute monolith, a multi-gazillion dollar industry. The CFL is not that. One player in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, just signed, basically a $50 million a year salary. That is basically the entire salary cap of the Canadian Football League.
Every player on every team, yes. He could pay for that, yeah.
The mathematics just don't work. So comparing the two financially is just, you can't do it. And if the CFL went to four downs, it would just be in the shadows of the National Football League. You could probably make the case that it already is, but because it's so different and we treasure it because it's part of the national game, it's our game, I think that it lives on in that capacity.
Well, there's a couple other things here. You touched on already that one of the reasons why this is being discussed is because scoring has been down and we want to create more offense and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you go to four downs in a CFL stadium with the CFL size and everything else, you may go from, you know, scoring is down to we can never stop a drive ever.
Yeah.
Honestly, because if you've got four tries on that size field to get 10 yards, as a coach, if I was coaching, unless I was pinned back inside my 10-yard line, I would probably never punt. I would just take my four downs. You're setting up a yard off the ball. You're basically being given a yard almost. And so if you can extend that now to 2.5, add another yard and a half per play, you get a first down every series. It would become, Rick, almost impossible to stop. We go the opposite then, and I don't know that solving one problem by creating a new problem is solving any problem.
Yeah, I mean, two things. If the CFL does go to four downs with its field size, yeah, you know, obviously scoring is going to go up because, you know, each offensive possession, you get one extra down, you know, drives will continue. You're not going to have, you know, many two and outs. You know, you got, you know, an extra shot to get that five-yard gain or whatever the case is. I think the run game in the CFL changes a little bit. Now you have an extra down or maybe even a wasted down to set up something else in your playbook, whether it's play action or a bootleg or whatever the case is. But I think, yeah, the size of the field, the motion, the 1 yard off, the scoring, we could have, you know, 59 to 56 football games. And maybe at first that would be tremendously exciting, but when every game is in the 50s or the 40s, now it's like outdoor arena league almost. And it's now it's offense, you know, sells tickets and wins championships, because who the heck needs a defense when you're just trying to outscore the opponent? So I think it drastically changes the game.
The other, and I said there's a few things here, the other issue with this, and let's assume for a second that what we've said a few times, that you and I are oldsters now and that we're out of touch, and that let's say that...
This is all true.
Well, and let's say that, you know, a whole generation would somehow see this and become really engaged by this and really find it fascinating. The risk I think that you would run if you're the league is, I think a lot of the existing dyed-in-the-wool fans would bail on it immediately, but it would take you some time to get those new fans to really buy in and see it and watch it and become really interested. If you're the league that doesn't make much money, that usually loses money in some places, can you live for 3 or 4, if it came to that, or 5 years to build up your new fan base while the old ones have gone? Can you live with that?
That's an interesting one, because the interesting part would be, you know, how big is that gap between the old guard leaving and the new fans coming in, and how long does it take for that gap to close, if it ever does? Because, yeah, you do really alienate and piss off a lot of the, you know, the purists or the men and women who have been with this game for eons and remember all the great games and the high-scoring ones that happened to be taking place not too long ago, really. The other thing, too, with, you know, going to four downs is the old moniker of no lead is safe is almost out the door, because really teams are just going to be trading touchdowns. So, yeah, no lead is safe, but you're not going to have those, you know, 39 to 20, you know, kind of comebacks, and a team can just, you know, pour on the points because the other team is still going to be scoring a lot. So, yeah, this is a slippery slope for the CFL, and I'm not sure they should be going down.
So let's go back to the very first thing you talked about. We got a minute left here. Let's go back to what you very first talked about, where you said maybe this is simply a way at a very quiet time of the off season to get people talking CFL, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Leagues love it when you talk about, I mean, the NFL has become a 12 months of the year thing now. I mean, there's always something to do with the NFL on. That said, is this the thing that you want people talking about? Is having people argue about the most or one of the most fundamental parts of your game what you want them talking about? Or are you better off to open up free agency earlier or have different? Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe as long as they're talking about you, that's just a good thing. But I just wonder if you're ticking some people off as opposed to just generating interest and buzz.
Yeah, I think you run the risk of ticking them off, but I think until you pull the trigger on whatever decision that is, that fan is probably going to come back. I think if they really wanted to create some buzz, whether they're really serious about this or not, you know, open it up to the fans. Make this public to say, hey, listen, you know, we want to improve the game. We have various ideas. Here's a list of things that we may consider, not that we will consider, but what are your thoughts about changing from three to four downs? Should we get rid of the rouge? Do we want end zones to be smaller? Do we want to cut that midfield kind of 10-yard area in half and make the field shorter? You know, what are some of the things that you want to see change in the CFL to make the game better? That's how they have to present it. And I think now you're creating some real buzz in the offseason that fans are participating in, and maybe you get those new fans to say, hey, I have an opportunity to kind of mold the game going forward. You might get a new fan or two from coast to coast.
Now, here's an idea they could talk about. Since in the Canadian Football League, we give a point for failing to make a field goal because you were really close. You drove the ball close enough to try, but you didn't quite do it. What if we give 2 points for a pass into the end zone that isn't caught, but the receiver touches because he came really close? It's the double rouge.
Yes.
I'm throwing out interesting ideas here that I still think are better than four downs, but nonetheless.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll come up with more stupid ideas. This will be a specialty. Tune in on Good Morning Hamilton for even more stupid CFL proposals. By the way, what was in that box that you opened up the other day that was the secret box? Did it tick?
A fine selection of Tim Hortons ice cream that we are taste testing each and every day on Good Morning Hamilton during the roundtable at 8:30. So today we tried the double chocolate donut ice cream, and it was I gave it a 10 out of 10. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's and what have you tried any other flavors yet?
We had birthday cake Timbits on Monday. I gave that a 7 out of 10. Tomorrow we're trying the caramel ice cap ice cream. We have a fruit explosion, I think it's called, or sensation on Thursday, and an apple fritter on Friday.
You know, we got to do more food segments on this show.
hey, when you ever bring back Novemberger in studio.
Yeah, you know, Novemberger kind of faded away because of the pandemic, and that was always the finest day of the year. So I'm now getting jealous of early morning 5:30 a.m. ice cream samplings. Tune in for Good Morning Hamilton for more tasting of ice cream. That'll be tomorrow morning. What flavor is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow is salted caramel ice cap.
Ooh,
I know. That's my breakfast.
Nice, Rick Zamperin. Appreciate this. Thanks for doing the time.
You got it. Take care.
The Scott Radley Show, weekday evenings from 6 to 8 on 900 CHML.
The Scott Radley Show podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Scott Radley. Thanks again for listening, and do not forget to subscribe to this podcast. It is free. You will never miss an episode, and also be sure you rate us and review us. Whatever you think of us, we'll take it. Thanks for listening.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.